Begin the current daf and Seftes Tmur Daf Chaf. Begin on the bottom line of Daf Yud Tesma Beis, where the Gemara continues in the related machlekes that we mentioned in our Mishnah. We mentioned regarding if someone designates a female animal for a carbon asham, which an asham has to be an oila, has to be a zachar, has to be a male, not a female. But if someone designates a female for the carbon asham, there is a machlekes in the Mishnah. Tanakama says, so it's left to graze until it develops a blemish, then its proceeds are sold, and then it's used to purchase a carbon asham. Now, whereas Reb Shimon says, he says, no, it can be sold even in the unblemished state, whereas Rashi had explained, because it's totally invalid as a nekeva at all. Now, although in the previous Mishnah regarding if Hamafresh nekeva lo ilosai, there Reb Shimon did not disagree, did not dispute, even though oil also has to be a zachar. So Rashi explained, because there at least the mother, the designation of the title of oila is applicable by nekeva, by oif. But by Ashram, we don't find anywhere that there's going to be in the cave. So therefore, he differentiates and says that there has no physical sanctity whatsoever. So just like things that only have Kedusha's dam could be sold without a blemish, so to this. Now, regarding that same machlekes, the Gemara brings Tarim Bamalin, the following brisa, the similar type of this machlekes. Hamakdish nekeva loy lasa. If someone sanctifies a female animal for his carbon oila, which again is inappropriate, as we continue to have of chaf manalf, or olapischi or lashame, where all these types of carbon, this carbon pesach, carbon ashram, they all require a zachar, a male, not a female. However, says the Tanakhama, eisa timur later Tanakhama of our Mishnah, where yeah, although it's not fit, but ultimately it has a physical sanctity, although invalid, and therefore, as we said regarding that. One has to wait till it develops a blemish until you sell it. And so too, we consider having a physical sanctity that one could go ahead and now make a tamur from it to another animal. Shimon, he differentiates, as we explained in the halacha of the Mishnah. He says, loy losay oisa tamur. He says, if he made a female elm, an oila female, so then they could make a tamur, because as we said, by an oila, although again it's supposed to be only male, but there is an element of female in regards to bird karbanas. So ultimately, even though it's an animal here, not a bird, the title of oila does apply even though it's a female, and it will have a physical sanctity, although invalid, thus being able to make a tamura with that animal. But lepischa yula shamai, but if let's say he made his carbon pesach, or his carbon ashram, as a female, we don't find anywhere ashram or pesach being female, so therefore ein oisa tamura. So that animal that was a female, that he made it, he said this should be a ashram or pesach, cannot make something else a tamura. Because he can't have something that's going to make something else into a tamura, only if it's a type of an animal that would have to graze until it develops a blemish. In other words, it has to be something that has a physical sanctity, where if it's not fit to be sacrificed, you can't sell it without a blemish, rather it has to go out and graze. Now, therefore, Reb Shimon holds by the Ashram and the Pesach, since there's no designation whatsoever that could take effect of that title of Ashram Pesach on the female animal, for it to be sold, there it doesn't require a blemish, as we said, has halacha in the Mishnah, so therefore it can't go ahead and make tamura. But again, in oila, as we said, he differentiates because the title of oila could take effect on the female by oila's ha'if, therefore he holds even by an animal, you have to wait till it grazes, until it develops a blemish, and therefore that's also the type of animal that one can make a tamura with. Now, Amar Rebbe says, "Ein ani roya dvar v'shor b'shimim b'pesach," that I disagree with Reb Shimon on the point that he's making regarding the carbon pesach, where, although, let's say, by Ashram, I agree with him, yeah, you don't find anywhere that there's nekeva by the carbon Ashram, and whereas by Oila, I definitely agree to that, where everyone agrees to the context that you can make Tamura, because it has the title of nekeva that could apply with it by the Oila Sa'if, but by Pesach, I disagree with him. Hayelu Mesra, a Mesra Pesach, Karav Shlamim, ultimately, the excesses of carbon Pesach are sacrificed as a carbon Shlamim. So therefore, since it's applicable, meaning a carbon pesach any other day of the year when it's sacrificed, actually has the status of a shlamo. Well, let's say that you have leftovers of pesach that weren't sacrificed, so after pesach, it sacrifices a shlam. So since ultimately there's an element of shlam that's applicable by pesach, and shlamim could be brought as a female animal, so therefore, says Rebbe, that there I would say the same logic that we say, like Ba'ila Sa'if, that it does have some relevancy regarding an element of Nekeva, and therefore it's going to have that physical sanctity, albeit invalid, to be able to go ahead and make a tamur with it. Now, an added chiddush in this idea is that even though ultimately this female animal cannot be sacrificed as a female, even as a shlamim after Pesach, whereas the Gemara told us in the previous daf, if it's left over after Pesach, it has to graze until it develops a blemish. However, that's what Rebbe is saying. Ultimately, the fact that the Pesach's, its excess, is shlamims, and since shlamims are fit to be brought in the keva, so therefore this female animal that was designated as a Karban Pesach, he said it should have a physical sanctity to be able to make tamura with that animal. Now, the Gemara wonders, but then Valema, so then Rabbi should have said the same point, in ani roi devar v'shal b'shimin ba'ashim, he should have disputed him by the ashim too. Why? Ha'ilu ma'isar ashim karav ayla. Same halacha applies that the excess of an ashim, when there's situations when the ashim is not sacrificed, that it grazes until it develops a blemish, that excess are brought as a karban ayla. So it comes out that you have an element of a female by ashim, which, as we said, why? Because in ayla itself, we find that it has a physical sanctity by the Eilas Nekeva, because we find Eilas Nekeva by Eif. And if you're saying Eila applies to Asham, because in its Meiser, so therefore it should be the same like you're saying, by Meiser Pesach, which has an element of Shlam, which could be Nekeva. Here also it should have an element of Nekeva, so he should have disputed by Asham too. Says the Gemara, no, because Rebbe Sabal Karabanan. Rebbe held like the Rabbanan, the Amri that they say, Meisaris Lenidvas Tzibar Asli. Yeah, the excesses of the asham are brought as an oila. But there's actually machlekes, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, regarding what type of oilas it's brought for. Even if it's going to be an oila, since it's brought as an oila of the tzibra, of the public, it's not going to do tamura because of ain't tamura b'tzibra. There's no, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, there's no halacha of tamura by a tzibra. And you're right, so even though there's an oila, but it can't have the element of saying that, okay, you can make a tamura, simply because that ayla that we're saying it would be from this moisa the asham would be that of tzibur, and the tzibur doesn't make a tamura anyway. So that was that explanation in the price. And now the Gemara says as follows. You would have thought the thing, which was the assumption of the Gemara, that hainu taimed Reb Shimon gabi mafresh nekeba lo ilasai. What's the reason why Reb Shimon agrees in the case of when someone designates a female animal for his ayla, which again, an ayla has to be a zachar, why does he hold over there that has a physical sanctity and you can make a tamur with it? It's because the ikka, like we were explaining up until now, because there is shame oila allow, because it has a title of oila on the female animal, gabe, as the Shita Mugabetz adds on the words, ani, by the poor person, but oila sa'if, where there's halacha of carbon oila v'yari. There are certain times when if you can't afford an animal, then you bring a bird carbon or a flower offering. So by a poor person who can't afford an animal, he brings a bird animal as an oila, and by oila sa'if there's no halach of gender, and then you could have an akeva by an oila. So therefore, even by an animal, the title oila could still stick, even though it's a female animal. Fine. But el mi'ata, but if that's the case, so the Gemara asks the following question. B'kain gadol, shehifrish para leparai. If a kain gadol designates for his par yom kippurim, on yom kippurim, the kain gadol brings for him and his family a bull on Yom Kippur for the atonement of them. If he designates, instead of a bull, which is the male, he designates a female, a cow. So the question is, so tiktish, so that cow should be sanctified, it should have a title of chatas on it. Why? Because the ikapar is chatas, because we find that there is a cow that is sanctified, which is the paraduma, which is called the chatas, as the Gemara says, Zichun Daf Yud Aleph, and therefore, the same logic we're saying over here should apply even by chatas. And no one's saying it by chatas, we're only saying it by the case of Ayla. Why? Then chatas should be the same thing. Because you're saying the title is applicable because in certain situations you could have it. Say, also, chatas, you could also have in certain situations that a cow, the female, would work. So then, why don't we say that they're also by the Kohen Gadol, when they're supposed to bring the male, when they're supposed to bring the bull, and he designates a cow, they're also, it should be sanctified. So the Gemara, no, because Kajabedik Abayisu, the Paraduma, yeah, it's called a Chatas, but it's a sanctification of the temple upkeep, of the treasury, and it itself does not have the physical sanctity to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach. That's actually why we're calling it Bedik Abayis, although it's actually brought as somewhat of a carbon. But it has the halachic status of Kedusha's Bedik Abayis, of only like Kedusha's Damim, because it's not actually sacrificed on the Mizbeach. And as we also learned in the previous Mishnah, the halacha is only something that has a physical sanctity for the altar. Something that's only for kedushas of bedik habayis doesn't make tamura, and therefore again that wouldn't help to say that, oh, a cow which should be sanctified and to be able to make tamura, because you can't make tamura anyway in kachet bedik habayis, so that wouldn't be an element that would say that, oh, it's going to have a sanctity to make a tamura. But the Gemara continues asking a similar type of a question. Yachad shehifrish sa'ir l'si rasai, an individual who's supposed to bring a she-goat. Instead he designates a he-goat. Says the Gemara Tiktish, it should be sanctified. Why? Because do'ika sa'ir nasi, you have an individual that, by a nasi, the prince of the Jewish people, when he sins, he's actually supposed to bring a he-goat. So you see that there is a situation that an individual, when he's supposed to bring his sin offering, brings a he-goat, not a she-goat. So therefore, even by regular, common, or individual, it should be sanctified when he designates a he-goat. And so too in the reverse. Inami, or also nasi shefer she'ira, l'si'irai, tikdush. When the prince designates a she-goat instead of the he-goat that he's supposed to be, it should be sanctified to be able to make tamura d'hayachin mafer she'ira, because you have an individual that separates she-goats. So it should have at least that sanctity to be able to make tamura. Says Gemara, no, these two questions are different. Hani tre gufininu. Those are two different individuals. That's a yachid, a commoner, and that's a nasi, that's a prince. And therefore, by each individual, you don't find to have that by the yachid, let's say, to have a sar for his chatas. And you don't find by the nasi that by him is ever going to be a seira, a shigot. In contrast, the case that we're talking about by the oila that he designates as a female animal, in this person himself, you do find. Because if this person would declare ownerless all his assets, he would be a poor person, and then he himself would be appropriate to have an oila sa'if. So this person himself, you could have an oila by nekeva, specifically by oila sa'if. That's where you're going to say this logic, okay, so it will have a sanctity to be able to make tamura. But two different individuals, you can't compare and say, oh, that you could have that title, because by this person you wouldn't, and therefore that's why it's not going to be hukdish to be able to make tamura. But the Gemara continues the line of questioning. And the Gemara says, chata and actually nismana. So let's say the prince, the nasi, sinned before he didn't get appointed yet to be the nasi. Now, kimafish shtar l'sirasa, in that type of situation, when he finally separates and designates, which he's supposed to do a she-goat, because when he sinned he was a commoner. If he goes and he now designates a he-goat instead of a she-goat, says the Gemara, tikdish. So then it should be sanctified. In other words, there should be a designation of the title of chatas in this person himself. Why? Because the ilu chata hashta, if he would sin right now, after that he's a nasi, barisu yisaruhu, he's an individual, this person himself, to bring a he-goat, because now he's a nasi. So even when he's bringing the carbon for when he sinned, when he was a commoner, which was a she-goat, when he designated the he-goat, it should work, which should have the same logic. Says the Gemara, no, because haloi chata, he didn't sin right now. So loi chai b'sar, he's not obligated in the he-goat. And therefore, you can't say that he would be able to bring a he-goat, because he wouldn't, because he didn't sin. And therefore, that's not going to help us. So says Gemara, if that's the case, it has to be that in practicality that this is something that he could bring. Well, then hachinami. Then you're back to the question of our primary halacha. Here also, halav oila sa'if kamaisi. He's not bringing an oila sa'if. In other words, if a person would be obligated in the oila, a person would not be able to bring an oila sa'if because he's a wealthy person. A wealthy person, even when the situations when you could bring an oila sa'if is only for a poor person. This person is not poor. So you're saying, oh, if he would be, but you're not saying if he would bring. Like you say, like this person, if he would sin, he didn't sin. So you're saying that's why he can't bring a sar, and therefore it's not going to help. So here also. And even if you're going to say that he would be poor, moreover, this that he's saying he wants to make a carbon oila, an oilas nadava, cannot be brought in the pauper type of style. That's only when there's obligatory carbonate you have to bring in. You're not. You don't have enough money. That's when you can bring. But someone's just saying that this should be oila, oilas nadava. He can't bring a bird carbon unless he explicitly says a bird carbon. So then, how are you saying the logic over there that and the cable will work? Because it could be, but it's not. Just like you're saying over here that it's not, even though it could be if he would sin. So the Gemara, no, because actually Reb Shimon Sabala Krebelazar ben Azariah, who says that actually even a donated oila by a wealthy person, when he just says he's going to bring an oila, actually is appropriate to be an oila sa'if. So it's not if it would be, it's actually right now that it would be appropriate for this person to have an oila that's in the cave. Because now, like we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos that says, Hari alai oila. If someone says, I'm going to bring a carbon oila, he doesn't specify what type of burnt offering. So Tanna Kamma says, Yavi Kevis. He has to bring a lamb, which that's the line of question we were going along according to that opinion, that has to be a lamb. So then, how can you say that this person could have an akeva? He can't. It's a wealthy person, a regular person, he'd be bringing just a kevis. And even a poor person would have to bring a kevis if he's unspecified. But Lesben Azariah, I mean, that's what we're going like. He says, no, oitair oi ben yoina. It's actually a turtle dove or young pigeon. Actually, that's the one that's brought if he just says he can bring a carbon oila. And therefore, again, this person, this individual right now in his current state could have an oila that's in the keva, specifically by the bird carbonas. And therefore, even when he's designated by behema, it's going to have a sanctity, again, that the halacha of tamura could take effect in the halacha. Now, relating back to the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings Tnan Hasel. Learned over there in the Mishnah Masechta Shkolm that says as follows. Hamakdish Nechasel. Someone sanctifies his assets. He makes everything he owns into hektish. Now, and in his assets were animals that were fit to be sacrificed on the altar, unblemished animals that could be sacrificed. So he had zcharim in the cave, male animals, female animals. So Blazim, he says, zcharim yimachu letzarcha oila. So the males are sold for the utility of being utilized for karbanas of oila, which will have to be male. Then the cave is yimachu letzarcha sham, and the females are sold for the proceeds of those animals being utilized for the purpose of being karban shlam, which could be females. Now, but the mayan, now the monies that are used, I mean, the animals themselves are unblemished, so they're sold for people that need karbanas. But the proceeds of those sales, which is from this guy's assets, yiplu imshan nechasim lebedegabais, they go together with all his other assets, which are regular stuff, tables, chairs, and everything like that, for the temple upkeep. Now the reason is because Rabbi Elazar holds generally, and someone sanctifies his stuff, it's for bedegabais, for the temple upkeep. So even something that itself is fit for the mizbeach, like these male and female unblemished animals, halacha is that they're sold for its proceeds to give to the bedegabais, but it doesn't leave the sanctity of the mizbeach. So the ones who buy it, it's being sold to them for them to go ahead and be makrivit them as karbanas on the mizbeach. Reb Shua, I mean, he disagrees. He says that actually a person will not forsake a sanctity that could be sacrificed on the mizbeach and sanctify instead for the bedekabayas if it's something that's fit for the mizbeach. So therefore, no, by the types of animals, we assume that actually the person sanctified them to be sacrificed on the mizbeach. So he says, zcharim atzman yikruv oilas. No, the males themselves are sacrificed as karban oilas. Then the kavis, yimachru letzarcha shlam. Now the females, he says, is they're sold for the purposes of karban shlam. The yavi b'dmein oilas, and from the monetary proceeds, you go and you purchase a karban oila. Because, as Rashi explains, well, what I mean, the females themselves could be sacrificed as karban shlam, because so someone doesn't forsake the kedusha of mizbeach. So he said, no, because generally we assume that a person sanctifying something to be a karban oila. Because as the Shita Mekubetz explains, that's a sanctified karban, it's from the most chashuv of karbanas, it's totally burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, by the females, they're sold the shlam, and the proceeds are used to purchase karban oila. V'shar nechasim yiplu bedegabayis, and then all the other assets, okay, that obviously is not for the mizbeach, they're used for the temple upkeep. And this halacha, the Gemara asks, Amli Rebchi Barab L'Rabbi Yechon, it says, L'Rabbi Yeshua the Omar, Zecharim Atzman Yikiv Oilis, the second opinion we just said, that he says the males themselves are sacrificed as a karban oila. And the cave is, so the question is as follows, the cave is, Heichi Mekarban Shlamim, so he said that the females, they themselves are not sacrificed. They're sold to others who need karban shlamim, and those people bring them as karban shlamim. But the question is, in the kevas heichem karban shlamim, how could those females be sacrificed as a karban shlamim? Hamekayach kedusha dechuyu ka'asin is coming from a rejected sanctity. Meaning, because from the fact that we see that he says the male animals themselves are sacrificed as karban oila, and even the monetary value, the proceeds from the shlam that are sold, are also used to purchase a karban oila. So the inference is, and this is what the assumption is, that means to say when this person sanctified the animals, both male and female, was for the utility of being a karban oila. And that's why you have to use even the proceeds of the females for a karban oila. Now that's essentially a case of mafresh nekeva la'ila. He's separating these female animals to be karban oila. So how could you say, okay, you can't use them themselves as oila, so you sell them to others for karban shlamim, but the halacha is, as we said in the Mishnah, that they need to graze. Because the Mishnah says, ha-mafresh le-keva lo-oil. If someone separates a female animal for his oil, which is not fit, they have to graze them to develop a blemish. And yet here we see that they themselves, the female animal themselves, are being brought as a karban shlamim. That's one version of the question. Lashon Achron, a different version, was that similarly, the Amalei Rebchiya Barabel Rebbi Yechon, he says, from the fact Rebbe Shua says, Zichar Ma'atzman Yikir Bo'ila, is that the male themselves are brought as a karban oila, lamember the Kedushas of Gufak Teshuna. That obviously is telling us that they're being sanctified with a physical sanctity, that they themselves are the oila and their sacrifice on the Mizbech. Not like the first opinion that says that they're just monetary sanctity. But if that's the case, then how are the female animals sold for the purposes of them themselves being brought as a karban shlamim? But bayriya has to be grazed until it develops a blemish because it's a kedusha duchuya, it's a rejected sanctity because it was sanctified as a female karban oila, which is not fit. So Amalei said to him, Rebbe Shua sovel like Rebbe Shimon. It's not difficult because Rebbe Shua holds like Rebbe Shimon. The Amma that he says, anything that's not fit for it itself to be utilized for that sanctity, it doesn't get a physical sanctity at all. So this is not like it is as if it's a rejected sanctity of oila, and then it's being used as a shlamim. And you're saying, wait a second, rejected sanctity has to go out and graze. No, it doesn't have to graze. It doesn't have to develop a blemish. As we said, the halach is that he holds that none will learn the Mishnah. Pshimanam, he says, Timach Shlebamum. He says you could sell it even without a blemish. Which, as the Tzayin Kachim adds on the words of Amrin, we said the time of the Reb Shimon, what's the reason, Reb Shimon? Kibin the lechaz in the cave of the Asham. He says, since that it's not fit to have a female animal as an Asham, so it says, it doesn't get a physical sanctity at all in the first place. You could sell it just as is. It's like something that has a monetary sanctity. So here also, yeah, you could sell it for people to use as shlam. It's not like it's a rejected oila. It's not an oila at all, because since you can't bring it itself as an oila, so then you can't use it, so it doesn't have that physical sanctity at all. So therefore, it's not a rejected sanctity of an oila. As we find that he says by Asha. So Rosh Gemara asks, when does Rabbi Shimon say as halacha? Kevin the Kevala Asham. That was the mission we had in the previous stuff. When he sanctifies a female animal for his carbon Asham. Why? As we continue to Medbez, as we explained, to Lekashem Asham Alimoy. Because there's no title of Asham on its mother, meaning that we don't find a female animal being brought as a carbon Asham. So he said that it's totally irrelevant and it's not going to have any sanctity whatsoever. So yeah, you could sell it as it is. It doesn't have a physical sanctity that needs to be a blemish before you sell. Avol gam in a keva la oila, but regarding a female for a carbon oila, the ikashem oila lima, meaning where the female could have a title of oila, like we said, because it applies by oila sa'if on the keva. Afrolei b'shimon might be saying even b'shimon would agree that it does have a sanctity, and therefore you're saying in the case of an oila, how are you going to say that there? Now how does that going to explain the halacha of Yeshua? There it is a kedusha d'chuya. How could you sell it as a shlam? Void. Moreover, he says, Hashemin le Reb Shimon, we explicitly learned the previous brayis that we brought, that Reb Shimon, as the Gersa says on Da'amah, that he says, La'ilasai Aisa Temura, that for his Ayla, there the halacha, he agrees that it's going to make a Temura, unlike the case of Ashram and Pesach, which we start off the Daf. Obviously, you see that there is a physical sanctity that it has to go ahead and graze and develop a blemish. How could you use Reb Shimon to explain the halacha of Reb Yeshua? So Malay said to him, Reb Yeshua Sava like Idach Tana, Lib Reb Shimon. He was like, there's actually a machlekes tanoim what Reb Shimon said. The Tanakh learned in the Braisa. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, I'm a Mishum Reb Shimon, Aflei Lasei Einoi Setimur. He says, no, even if someone's it for his Ayla, when he's mafresh in the Keva, it does not make a Temur. I mean, he doesn't hold that differentiation that we were saying. He holds in Reb Shimon, if it itself cannot be brought, he does go through the lumdis and that deep analysis and saying, okay, it itself cannot be brought, but ultimately the designation, the title of Oila could take effect on the Keva by the Oila Sa'i. No, this version of Reb Shimon doesn't hold to that. Does this have a physical sanctity? It cannot, because it's an Oila and it cannot be female. Then that's it, it has no physical sanctity, and therefore then can't make a Temur. And therefore again, that applies to Halacha Yeshua. It's not a Kedusha D'chuya. It's not an Oila at all. So therefore, yeah, you go ahead and sell it as for others to use as it itself as a Karman Shalom, and therefore that's the understanding of this opinion of Reb Yeshua based on this other version of Reb Shimon. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayos regarding defining different karbanis as the title of this parak of Elu Kaddishim, that if regarding its Temura and the Vladis as if it has the Halacha as the parent carbon itself. So it says the Mishnah as follows, Temuras Asham. The Temur of an Asham, whether it be a male or female, the halacha is going to be, as the Mishnah is going to tell us, that the Temur has to go ahead and graze, because that's halacha Mishnah we said on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, wherever you have a case that the Chatas would die, which one of the cases of Chatas Shemesa is a Temur of a Chatas, so then by the Asham, the halacha has to go ahead and graze. Similarly, Vlad Temura, the child of the Temura, for example, if let's say the Temura was a female for the Asham, and then the Temura went and gave birth, so halacha is, Vladan, Atzev Kalim, all the children that will come out from this Temura and the Temura itself, Gira Achi Yistavu, it grazes until it develops a blemish, V'yimachru B'yiplu Damad L'Nadava, and it's sold, and it's from its proceeds is used for a Nadava that the Tzibur brings as a carbon oil. Because again, this is from, the halacha is that the Temura of a Nasham is, it goes out to graze, and therefore all the children also have the same halacha too. Belezaim, he says, no, Yemusa, actually, as we explained in the previous daf, he holds that Asham and Chatas have the same halachas, and just like Bechatas is left to die, so too by Asham is left to die. Now, a third opinion, the Gir says, Rebbe Lazarim, he says, Yavi b'demeh oilas. From its monies, from the proceeds, after it grazes, develop a blemish, you buy kabonis oila. Now, similarly, that's one case that we have this machlekes regarding the Temur of the Asham and the children of the Temur. Similarly, Asham shemesu balav. Where a carbon ashram that the owners died, or a shechibra balav of the owner got an atonement, which again, these are also cases that we find by Chattas, that by the Chattas, the five types of Chattas that have to die, here in the equivalent of Ashram, that it goes out to graze, the halacha says, the Tanakama, Yirech Yistavu, ask to graze until the Alps of blemish, the Yimacharu, the Yipla Dom of the Nadava, and it's sold and you use from its proceeds to buy donated karbanas for the tzibra, which is when this, the altar is idle, they bring these karbanas. Rabbi Lezaimer Yemus, he says, no, it's left to die. And Rabbi Lezaimer, he says, Yavi Bidimea Ayla, you bring from its proceeds, from the excess, you bring a carbon, a nadava of a yachid from the individual himself, he goes in and brings a carbon ayla. Now, the Mishnah comes to explain now what exactly is the difference between the first and the third opinion. Valoi af nadava, what the Tanakhama said was that you go and you bring from its proceeds a nadava after it grazes and develops a blemish and you sell it. Oilahi, that's a carbon oil, a totally burnt sacrifice. So ma bein de Rebbe Lazar, de Rebbe Chacham, what's the difference between the Tanakhama, the Chacham, and Rebbe Lazar, they're both saying the same idea, that from its monies you use and you buy a carbon oil. So Ella rather says the Gemara, and the difference is, bizman shehi bo, and the girsa is, chayva, at a time when it's obligatory, meaning when it's incumbent upon the individual to sacrifice it, which is the opinion of Rebbe Lazar, then soymichalel, then the individual himself, where he's not bringing this carbon anymore, let's say when he had it, in the case of when he had atonement already. So the halacha is when he brings it now from the process of oila, he's going to do smicha, which is going to lean on the animal. Umevi nesachem, he has to bring libations. Unesachem mishaloi, and the libations are from his own monies. Moreover, if let's say this individual who separated carbon ashram and he had atonement with a different animal already, and then the first one can't be used anymore because he already had atonement, so it's left to graze and develops a blemish. So what happens is that when they go out and they buy a carbon oil from the proceeds, if the owner is a kohen who he was going to bring that ashram, avedasa va'ira, the work and the hide of that oil that's coming from the leftover funds of that ashram, is shalai. It's his. I mean to say, he himself does the hakrava, he takes to hide, even if it's not the week of his own mishmer. Because that's actually what a brisa teaches. How do we know that a kohen comes and can bring his own karbanos at any time he wants, or even if it's not during his own mishmer? Because it says in the pasuk, "Ubo b'chalav esnaf shebeshayis," he could come whenever his heart's desires, and he could do the services. The Gemara says in Baba Kam, "Dav kavtesma beis." So here we're saying that since it's considered his own karban oila, so like we said, they'll do smicha and sachim. He'll have to bring in when he's a kohen. He could do the avod himself. Whereas according to the chachamim, ubizman shein nedava, when it's a donation of the tzibur, in a semichalal, then no one's going to do smicha because a carbon tzibur doesn't have smicha except for two situations. What's called a parhel and devashal tzibur, when the entire Jewish people sin because of the Meroni's ruling of the high court, and the sar mishtalech, which the sar lazazel is sent away on Yom Kippur. Which we have a tradition that there's only two smichas by the tzibur, as the Gemara says in Menachas, Dav Tzavi Bezim and Alf. So in this case, by an oilas, the dove of the tzibur, there is no smicha. And also, this individual does not bring on it nesachim because nesachim is tzibur. The nesachim, the libations, come from the funds of the tzibur. And also, even if this original owner of this ashram, which was left to graze, and we bought the proceeds, this nedav, the tzibur, even if he was a kain, avedasav ha'ira, and the gear says, shel anshi mishmer. The work and the hide goes to the people of the week, because the kain was split into 24 different mishmeres, every week a different group, and since it's a carbon of the tzibur, so therefore, here this kain does not have any rights, because you can't have a kain of a different group to do the carbon in the week of a different group. As the pasuk says, levan mim karv al ha'avais, which is, what did the different fathers of the groups sell each other? Saying that, okay, you do your week, I do my week. And therefore he can't come in because it's not his own carbon, it's the carbon of the tzibur. Now the Gemara says, utzricha, we had to have this machlekes Rebbe Lazar and Rabbanan in two different types of cases. We spoke about the tumur of ashram and the child of a tumur, and that was one machlekes. And then we mentioned, if it's an ashram that the owner died or that he had atonement with some other ashram, then we had this machlekes regarding what are we going to do over here? Is it going to be left to die? Is it going to be in the dava of the tzibur or of the yachid? We had to say the machlekes in both cases. Why? The ashmin, the ashram, had we said, let's say, only the second case. And from those two cases, we're explaining the one of, let's say, where ashram, where the owner had an atonement with some other animal. Let's say the first one was lost, they therefore got an atonement with another one, then they found the first one. So had we said only in that case, Bahakama Rebbe Eliezer Yimusha, that's where Rebbe Eliezer says that, okay, so this one that's not going to be used anymore as an ashram, has to be left to die. Why would he say over there has to be left to die? Is because Mishum de Gazdu La'acha Kapara. We would say that he's going to make a decree regarding in the case of when it's already after atonement. Meaning, he had atonement with the first one. If you're going to say that you bring from the monies of the leftover monies a korban ayla in the situation of when there already was atonement, he's concerned of the case of atul lifnei kapar, of you might come to say and do it even before there's atonement. In other words, if let's say there's these two animals, and a blemish falls in one of the two animals. So you say, hey, this one's not can't be brought as an ashram anymore. She's going to come to use from its proceeds, sell it, and use it as a carbon oila. Now the problem is, if he didn't yet get atonement with the other one, yeah, the other one's obviously going to be the ashram. But if he didn't get atonement with it yet, he's actually violating an issur, because as long as there's no atonement yet, then its proceeds are for a carbon ashram. So therefore, he said over there, okay, you're right. When it's after atonement, which is the case we're talking about of Asham, Shekipra, Baal, we already had atonement with some other one. Really, the halacha should be, yeah, like the Tanna Kama says, that it should graze and develop a blemish, and this process for Ayla. But he was concerned if we do that when there already was atonement, he might do it even before there's atonement. Then that's a violation, because he can't use the proceeds for an Ayla. It still has a designation of its proceeds for an Asham, because he didn't yet get atonement with any other Asham yet. Avagabi Tamuris Asham, but regarding the first case that they disagree in the Mishnah, regarding when there's an Asham and they makes a Tamur onto another animal, but you can't say such a halach of such a concern, because even before atonement, the halach is that a Tamur of Asham is not ever earmarked to be sacrificed, because that's the halach of Mishnah B'Sina, that the Tamur of an Asham is not sacrificed. So therefore, I would say that Vlad Tamurasa, that actually in the case of the child of the Tamura, that actually Rebbe Elazar would agree lahul rabban to rabban, and that actually would go out and graze, because there's no reason for any rabbinic concern over there to say that you might violate anything. No, there's never a situation that a person might come to be for the halacha of being makrif. You don't have the problem of, oh, it has to be makrif. There is no halacha of being makrif. So therefore, maybe they would agree that it's left to graze. Therefore, you have to say the machlek is there too. And same thing in reverse. V'yash min hasim, had we only said the first case, sabaha kam rabban, we would say with either rabban say, okay, it's left to graze, because obviously, what's the problem? You can't use it, and therefore you graze until it develops a blemish, and you buy a carbon oil. Avagabi asham maydilei l'Rebbe Elazar, but by the case of when you have an asham, sheneskapur ba'aleha, that maybe we agree with the Rebbe Elazar, that we should make a rabbinic decree, that you're right, la'acha kapar, there's no problem. Everyone should agree that, of course, the maysar asham is left to be used as a carbon oil. But you might do it before the kapara. Before the kapara, you can't bring from its proceeds of ayla because you didn't get atonement yet. And since if you can allow this to be done achra kapara, you might do it before kapara. And therefore, maybe they would agree that you musu should be left to die. Tzricha, they were at to say both cases to say the machlekes applies between Rebbe Elazar and the chacham in both cases if it's left to die or if it's yira ad sheyistav. Continuing on explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, specifically what the Gemara is discussing here is the case of Vlad Tamuras Asham, which was the second case of our Mishnah. We said Tamuras Asham and Vlad Tamura, the child of the Tamura of an Asham. We had this machlekes in our Mishnah. So on that, Rav Nachman Rabbi Barvu, he says machlekes la'achar kapara. The whole machlekes was only after atonement. If the person already had atonement already for his Asham, so then the child of the Tamura is where we have this machlekes. What do you do with it? Left to graze, left to die. The guy didn't get atonement yet for his carbon asham yet, and he made a tamura, and that tamura had a child. Actually, everyone would agree that the child itself of the tamura, yikrav asham, that child that's a male animal, actually it itself, if you lost the first one, which you had an asham, you made a tamura, the tamura had a child. Now the child is a zachar. If you lost the first one, actually the child itself will be sacrificed as a carbon asham. The whole machlekes was only after atonement. You already had atonement. What are you going to do with it? Okay, that's the question. Do you leave it to die, or that it grazes and develops a blemish and you buy a carbon oil? Now, on this interpretation, Omar Rava, he says, shtei tshuvas b'dabar. There's two responses, two questions regarding what you just said. Chada, first of all, the eno de meskapa b'dabar ha-babaver. You can't have atonement in the base of Mikdash with something that it came through a sin. The halacha is that this child came through a tamura. It's the child of the tamura, and the tamura is a violation on the Eastern, the Torah of lo yachlifenu. Now, although the halacha is that the tamur ben oila and tamur ben shlam, they themselves are sacrificed, but those are not for atonement. Oila and shlam are not for atonement, so they can be sacrificed. But here, the vlad of the tamur ben asham, where the asham is for atonement, how could you say the vlad of the tamur, which come through sin, is going to be used for atonement? Void, moreover, Hatani and the Gir says Rav Chia, Chia taught a brisa l'seyulir b'shu ben Levi to support him, which we wrote early in the paragraph of the Chesem Beis. Dama that he says, or the Gir takes out the word dama. Vlad Rishon Karv, the first child of a Karban Shlam is sacrificed. Vlad Sheni in the Karv, that was the discussion over there, that the second child of a Shlam is not sacrificed. Now, this child of the Temura is essentially a Vlad Sheni. Why? Because the Temura is the equivalent of a Vlad. It's a derivative of the primary carbon Asham. And the Vlad of the Temura is a Vlad Sheni. So you see explicitly that the Vlad Sheni is not carved. How can you say that the Vlad itself, and we agree, is going to be sacrificed? If we said this halacha that we just said to qualify the machlokes in the Mishnah, it was said actually the other way around. That actually machlokes, their whole machlokes in this case of our Mishnah of Vlad Temura regarding the child of the Temura was only kaidim kapar. To the contrary, was only before the atonement. That's where Eliezer says it should be left to die, because if you're going to say that the child of the Temura is grazes. But since then you're going to use the proceeds, as the Chacham say, as a carbon ayla, then we might come to confuse and actually sacrifice, since it's before the atonement, the Vlad of the Temur itself as a carbon ashem, because you think it's a viable type of a carbon. Whereas the Rabbanan say that no, since the animal itself is not being sacrificed in ayla, you're not going to come to confuse and think that you could bring the Vlad of the Temur itself as an ashem. But after atonement, where there's no element of mixing up at all for hakrava, because there already was atonement already. So then, where the child itself, atzmei karvayla, everyone agrees that the child is going to be sacrificed in itself, since it's a male, as a karmanayla. That's where he says that everyone's going to agree to the halach. Which the Gemara asks, how can you say that? Vatani Rav, and the Girs again is Rav Chiel Lesiyulim Shuban Levi, that he said that a Vlad Sheni is not sacrificed at all, and this is a Vlad Sheni, because the Temura is the Vlad Rishon, and the Vlad of the Temura is a Vlad Sheni. We say that it's not sacrificed. So Zimur Kasha, that's definitely difficult from there, but that was the way he's qualifying the Halacha of the Mishnah, that the Machlekes is only Lefnei Kapar, La'ach Kapar, where there's no confusion. He says actually you can sacrifice that itself as a carbon oil. Which similarly, the Gemara brings the following halacha, which relates back to the same discussion. It says, if someone designates a female animal for an ashram, which again we said is not viable because ashram has to be a zachar. But the question he asked was, what's halacha? Could the son, which is a male, could it be sacrificed itself as a carbon oila, which is fit to be brought as an oila because it's a male? So the Gemara asked back and said, this is something that we always knew. We said this in the previous daf. The Tivshalim, the Reis of Reb Chanina, that he said, enough your testament based on the top of the Amid, he says, the Amma Maida Reb Elazar, that even Reb Elazar agrees, which we had explained that he said, that the whole reason Reb Elazar, that he says, that if someone, by the child of someone who designates a Nekeva for an Oila, he said the reason why it's going to have that sanctity is because you have a Shem Oila on his mother. But here, regarding the Asham, is Mafresh Nekeva La Ashamai, where it doesn't have a Shem Oila on its mother, so obviously it's not going to take effect the sanctity on the child. What was the question that was being asked over here? It says Gemara, Loishmila, he didn't hear this teaching, Rizchanina, and therefore says Gemara, Mai. So what was it that he responded? So Malay, he actually said to him, Bino Karavayla, the child of the female Asham, if it's a male, could actually be brought as an Oila, which could be brought as a Zach. To which the Gemara asks, Hi, Mai, what is this? Ad can come Reb Elazar, where do we find Reb Elazar saying is halacha ayla mafresh nekevel ayla? When someone designates a female animal as an ayla. Deikah shem ayla al ima, where there's a title of ayla on this mother, so you could say that the child, when it's going to be a male, could itself be brought as an ayla. That was Reb Elazar's halacha, because the mother itself has some element of ayla on it, like we say by ayla sa'if. Avagabi ashram, but by the guilt offering, the lekashem ayla al ima, the mother, the which is a nekeva ashram, doesn't have, it's not called an oila. Safal Reb Elazar, my dear Reb Elazar agrees that the child cannot be brought as a carbon oila. What's this that he's saying that the child can be brought as an oila? Amalei said to him, no, Tamin Reb Elazar, lav mishum d'shem oila limoy. It's not because, like he explained, it's not because it has a title of oila on the mother. Elam shum d'chazal l'akrava. It's simply because the child is fit to be sacrificed because it's a male, and the male can be brought as a carbon oila. So v'anam chazal l'akrava. Here also, even if the mother is an ashram, it doesn't make a difference. The child is a male, which could be brought as a carbon idol. Which Esavir, the Gemara asks from the halach of our Mishnah. Mishnah spoke about the Temur of an Ashram, the Vlad of a Temura, Vlad, the Vladan, the child, the Vlad Vladan, the child's child, Asev Kal Oilam. Halach is, says the Mishnah, Yavib Edmein Oila. Which it's quoted in the halacha of Reb Elazar that says that from the proceeds you go and you purchase and you bring an Oilas Nadava. Now the inference is, the most that we find in the Mishnah is that the monetary value is used to purchase a carbon oil. However, as we contain the type of Chaf, Alef, Manav, Atzmai Loi, the child itself even though it's a devlad of a temura that's fit to be sacrificed, itself is not sacrificed. So that seems to be a clear contradiction that we see that by the vlad of the temura, even though itself is fit, it's a male, we see it's not sacrificed as a carbon oil. And you said the primary thing is not what it's derived from. If it's fit, it's fit. Says Gemara, no, what are we talking about in the Mishnah? It's kikun shi'alt in the keva. We're talking about where it gave birth to female animals. That's where the halach is regarding the temura or the vlad of temura, all the children going on. They're female, so you can't sacrifice itself. So the question is, what do you do with it? That's the question. Is it grazed? Is it left to die? But you're right, if it was a male, actually it would be sacrificed by itself. So says Gemara, you tell me, until the end of time, it says that all its children, the halacha is like we had the machlekes in the Mishnah. What, it's never going to give birth to one male that you would have to specify and say that it itself could be sacrificed? So Amalia said to him, Mishanina shenu yedechike bavlei. So I'm going to give you a contrived answer like the Babylonians do. It's kagun, she yelled in the cave, it's not yet. It's talking about that it gave birth to females until the end of time. But really, if it gave birth to a male, I disagree with the premise that we said in the previous stuff. It's not because the mother has some type of ability to be an oila in the context of oila's life, therefore the child could be an oila. No, even if the parent is an asham, which has no validity whatsoever, it doesn't make a difference. The child that's a male, which fit to be brought an oila, in itself is brought as an oila. Now, however, it's clear that there's a text in Rashi, which the Vilna Gaon brings in Eis Aleph, that the Gemara's question is that, oh, from the fact that he told them that I'm going to give you a contrived answer like the Babylonians do, the inference is obviously he had a different answer, which the text of Rashi that the Hagayis HaGemara brings is, Mahav Meshanele. What would he answered him if he wasn't giving him this contrived answer? So then that the text says, Meshanele, he would have answered him, Hasam Mishum Da'asi La'achlufi. Now the halacha of a Mishnah is different because of, we might come to confuse, a case of Vlad Temuras Asham, which you're right. The child of a Temur Ben Asham, if it's a male, it actually should be able to be brought as a carbon itself. But it might be confused with the vlad of an asham, the child of the asham itself. Where there, that's not something that's fit to be brought as a carbon. So therefore, we said that even over there, by the vlad of the temurva asham, that it's not going to be sacrificed as a carbon. But in the case that he was discussing regarding the child of an ekeva, when the asham was a female, there, yes, the child itself is going to be sacrificed as a carbon oila because it's fit to be sacrificed. And the halacha of a Mishnah, the reason why, even if it's a male, the non-contrived answer, that's not going to be sacrificed, is because we might confuse the vlad temuras asham of a vlad of an asham. But if the mother is a female, where there's no confusion whatsoever because the parent is not the male asham at all, they're actually the child, because it's dependent totally on just if it's chazal hakrava, actually if it's a male, would be brought as a carbon oila itself.